quite that far, but I've been quite nervous trying to get this together tonight. I believe God has a word for us tonight. As Pastor says, I don't want to drop a watermelon. I've done that before, and God is still faithful. And we do our best, and He'll take care of the rest of it. So let's turn tonight to Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 45. There's two verses of Scripture. And the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. But when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Let's pray tonight. Lord, we thank you.
Google, which I'm sure everybody's familiar with Google,
75 years old. She knows how to use Google. If she has any questions, she doesn't ask my dad anymore. She asks Google. Because she already knows he knows everything. So, anyway. Oh, Lord, I hope she doesn't hear this. Anyway, if you use Google and you were to do a search for books about sales, I did this, and in a matter of 0.54 seconds, it listed 340 million entries on books on sales. Now, somebody is very serious about their business and what they do. Are we serious about sharing the love of God? Are we serious about getting this message out? I'm going to tell you what, Brother Pearson's message Sunday night really got me stirred up. It got me motivated because it's a fact. When people put their mind to something, getting them to stop is rather a chore. And God knew how effective it was when everybody got their mind together and they were working together as one. And it's easy to go off in your own direction and do your own thing. But we all need to work together. Working together, we can grow this thing. I remember, how long ago has it been? 27 years ago this year, my wife and I came to Beaufort to visit, and there were, oh Lord, there's more people on these, well, maybe the first two rows over here. That was the church back then. And, you know, we visited and we enjoyed it, and we saw, man, we felt the Holy Ghost here, but we never dreamed this. Isn't this awesome? Isn't this awesome that we have such an outlet? Spencer Johnson wrote and published a book titled The One-Minute Salesperson. Since that time, the book has sold over 13 million copies in 25 languages. Somebody wants to know what his success is. Because people, they will give their reasons for success. Oh yeah, I read that book and it really did a lot for me. The word gets out and people start buying the book and make somebody rich. So, every one of us have engaged in sales tactics of one or another. Any parents? You have engaged in sales tactics. Eat your vegetables. Clean your plate. Clean your room. You have had to convince your child at one point or another that you're going to have to do what I say. Now, spreading the gospel isn't quite like that. It's done in a little more, I don't know. It depends on who you are. If you're reading the scripture, there's some pretty strong statements from Paul and Peter in the New Testament. But we need to not be ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of the God of salvation, and we don't need to be ashamed of it or afraid of spreading the gospel. I think one of the biggest fears that I have faced in my life is, what if it doesn't work for me? I'm not responsible for the results. The farmer does not go out and examine every seed and pick them out one by one and put them in the ground. He goes out and sows the seed, and just at will, he gets it out there. It goes right along with the parable that Jesus taught about the sower, went out to sow, and he threw the seed out. It went everywhere. It landed in the rocks, it landed in the path, it landed in the weeds, and it landed on good ground. You have no idea what kind of ground that person is you're talking to. You may think, oh, this is rich, fertile soil, but come to find out it's a rock. It'll spring up and the heat will come and it'll be gone. So you can't be guilty of determining the ground. You need to sow the seed. We don't want to be biased, prejudiced, or whatever you want to call it when we spread the seed. Well, who's worthy of the seed? Well, none of us are worthy of it, but it's time to get it out there. We got to sow the seed. You think you cannot, You cannot. You can will yourself into success or completely out of it. And I'm not talking about name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, prosperity. I'm talking about getting the job done. There have been things before I have done that I felt like, well, it doesn't look too hard. Let me give it a try. And you know what? With just a little bit of effort and a little bit of direction from somebody else, I was able to do something I had never done before. Brother Keith and I put some floor down in a place one time, and I had never done it before. And when we got through, it looked good. He didn't tell me to do it over again. It looked good because I read the directions. You know that God gives us direction as well? He taught the disciples for 3.5 years, and he gave them very good instructions. And I really believe that half of what he taught them went right over their head until after he was gone. And then they remembered, didn't Jesus say? And they brought it to their remembrance, and suddenly it was a tool in their hand. Sometimes we'll read scripture and we'll go, wow, that is really a good verse. That is really a good verse. Tomorrow we don't remember it. Then something will happen in our life, and that verse will be quickened to our mind, and we'll go, that's what that verse was talking about. So, think it in your head first. If you can think it, if you think you can, you're right. If you think you cannot, you're right. Acts 26:2, Paul told King Agrippa, I think myself happy. I was talking with someone the other day up here. I don't remember who it was. He nodded at me, and I'll go, yeah, it was you. But you can think yourself into depression. Right. You can think yourself happy. You can think yourself in a bad mood. Trust me. I promise you it does happen. I've done it myself. And if you're honest with yourself, you've probably done the same thing. If you think your witness can be effective, you're right. You're absolutely right. If you think your witness is ineffective, unfortunately, you're also right. I remember somebody trying to sell something one time, and they'd go, you wouldn't be interested in buying one of these, would you? Like, you asked it wrong. How many of these can I sell you? Now you're talking. At work, in the front, at the front desk there, somebody bought a box of those candy bars. Those candy bars you hate from the world's finest. I think it's a brand, and they got dark chocolate in there. And just the imagination runs wild when I see chocolate. It's like, ooh, that's going to be good. Well, a customer came in the other day. I didn't realize it at the time. And he bought the last 25 candy bars in the box and put them in his vehicle and pulled around back, pulled it inside. And I don't know, somebody must have been a really good salesman to sell him the whole box. But we're loading his van. He reaches around. I don't know exactly what caused him to do it. But he turned around and he goes, hey, you want a candy bar? I go, man, I don't even have a dollar. He goes, no, pick out one. I'm giving you one. You know what? We don't sell this. We give this away. We make people want it just because of what we do, how we act. I see sour people that call themselves Christians, and I go, please let me know where you go to church.
Yeah.
I don't want none of what you got. And I don't want people to look at me and go, I don't want to know where you go to church. You got an attitude. And so when I do have an attitude, it's important that I learn how to cover that thing up. And you can all look at me like I just fell out of a tree, but every one of us at one time or another has had an attitude. And we've all needed to repent. And we do it regularly. And you know what? We're here tonight because it proves that we did repent and keep going. So, since what you think is so important, let's look at Philippians 4:8. I'm going to read this real quick. Finally. No, it doesn't mean I'm almost done. It's just a word. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Wow. I love honesty. I love truth. Anybody with me? Anybody like to be lied to? I hate being lied to. Anybody here been lied to? I'm sure we all have. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What you think is so important to your success. It is so important to your success as a Christian, as being a child of God, of being what really is a Christian. So somebody that demonstrates the attributes of God. Somebody said one time, just because you go on a drive does not make you a mechanic. And just because you go to church does not make you a Christian. We've got to be like him, and there's some things we're going to have to do to be like him. To get ourselves out of the way. The second element I want to talk about is to believe. Now first we had to think. We had to think we could. And second, we have to believe. You can think you can, like I mentioned, and you can also, then it turns into believing. You believe it. In our belief, we need to have, and I sort of hesitate to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. We need to have at least a four-part belief system. Four points of what you believe. You need to sit down with a pencil and paper and write something down and get it in your head from right out of this book why you believe what you believe. Does everybody know what you believe? Anybody know why we baptize in Jesus' name? Anybody know why you have got to have the Holy Ghost? Can you tell somebody that? It's not real hard. Everybody in here probably has a smartphone except for some of the children. There is an app. It's called Olive Tree Bible. If you don't have it, download it. It's free. On that, you can search for anything in the Bible. If you remember a couple words out of a verse, you can type it in, and that verse will come up. I don't like not being able to find a verse in the Bible, and my concordance is really small in the back of this Bible. I don't think I've found a Bible yet that has an adequate concordance in it, because it never has what I'm looking for. Have your tools with you at all times. Anybody leave home without your phone? Anybody? I don't see nobody leave home without their phone. You would think it were an American Express card, right? Don't leave home without it. All right, so the first thing you have to do is eliminate unbelief in your heart. Eliminate unbelief in your heart. You have got to believe. Do I believe that what I'm telling you is effective? You bet you I do. Excuse the best part. I believe what I'm telling you is effective because it's rooted and grounded in Scripture. I believe that anything that comes out of this book is good for me and it's good for you and your children too.
It's going to cost you something. Right.
It's going to cost you some. It's going to cost you, if nothing else, it's going to cost you your time.
That's right.
I was listening to somebody the other day preaching, and he said, we all want to be like Jesus. Is there anybody in here that does not want to be like Jesus? Now, I'm not ready to hang on a cross, but I want to be like Jesus. I want his love to shine through me. I want to reach people. I want to share with them this joy that I have. But he went on and said, we all want to be like Jesus. Really? He didn't have a place to lay his head. I don't think he even had a horse to ride, because if I remember right, the disciples went and found one for him to ride in on. How much do you want to be like Jesus? You know, I agreed with all those that have said, Lord, you can have what I've got. I've got to have you. What happens when it happens?
Right.
Well, where do we go when that happens?
Right.
How do we get to that next place?
Right.
So, what do you believe? Write down what you believe. Rehearse it in your mind. Rehearse it to somebody. Talk to them. Get it in your gut so there's no hesitation. So that you have an answer when somebody asks you. The Bible tells us to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. Anybody got hope tonight?
Yes.
I got hope. And I'm glad to have all the share with somebody else. In Mark chapter 9, the man brought his son to the disciples, and they couldn't heal him. And he went to Jesus and said, hey, your disciples couldn't heal him. And Jesus said to him in Mark 9:23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, I believe we're going to build a new building. Anybody believe that?
Yeah.
Boy, that's scary. I don't know if people believe it. I don't know when we're working on it. And I can tell you for a fact, all that money is not coming out of my pocket. It's because it ain't in my pocket. If it was in my pocket, absolutely. Lord, you put it in my pocket, and we're going to do it. Right?
Yeah.
All right. I want to make sure we're all on the same plan here. So, we have, and I mentioned writing down what you believe, and it's important to know what you believe, because you can share your personal testimony with somebody a whole lot easier than Brother Mayor's testimony. You can't share his testimony. I've told people about things that have happened to folks I know, and they're like, oh, wow, but it's not quite as, it's missing something until it comes from me. Well, let me tell you what God did for me.
Right.
And they go, really? Absolutely. We've got some very good tools in our, anybody ever seen this? This is a great Bible study. We've got Bible studies like this that are at our disposal to use to reach the world. We've got to spread the gospel. It's got to happen. It doesn't happen by itself. I've heard enough stories of missionaries passing out tracts and one flying down the street in the wind and laying on the sidewalk for 2 weeks and somebody stumble by and pick it up. That's not the norm. The norm is that you are going to tell somebody and something's going to happen. There have been people, there is one person here, I believe, that somebody at the mall gave him a invitation to church and he came and got the Holy Ghost. Where is he? He's hiding from me. Anyway, it happens. It does happen. I believe in it. The third thing that you have to do, it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't matter how or what you think, if you do not engage it, it's worthless. I have an old truck that I enjoy sometimes, and I can crank that thing up and wake up my neighbors because it sounds good. It's got dual exhaust headers, and it's loud when you give it gas. All I can do is sit there and hit the gas, and it makes all kind of noise, and I'm just irritating everybody until I engage that thing and get it out of the driveway. You can talk the talk all you want to, but when you finally put it in gear and quit irritating everybody with your talk and start spreading the gospel with your walk, that's when things really start happening. In Matthew 25, the story is told of the man that went on a journey and he delivered talents to his servants. That has been approached from many angles. But we all have some kind of talent.
That's right.
It may be preaching down in Atlanta. God bless you. I'll send money. I ain't going. Well, no, Lord. I'll be where you tell me to go. That's not my desire, Lord. Not my will. Not be done. I don't see anybody else going down there. Y'all can ridicule me all you want to, but I don't see nobody getting in line, do you? The master left and gave talents to each one. Jesus went away and he gave us talents as well. Each one of us, some of us have a good talent of putting our foot in our mouth. We have very clean shoes. Notice I said we. He gave them talents, and two-thirds of them knew what to do. Two out of three. They took that talent and they put it to use. What is your talent? I don't know what my talent is. I think I'm like the guy sitting there in the driveway revving the motor, just irritating me, you know? Just making a lot of noise. That's not my goal, but I want to take whatever it is God gave me and I want to put it to use. Because one day I'm going to have to give account. The scripture tells us that we will have to give account for every idle word. Does that make anybody a little scared? That's a little fearful to me to know that I'm going to have to answer for every little smart remark I've made. Hey, you say, oh, me all you want to, because every one of us is guilty of it. We have got to get that way. All right? So somebody engaged, two of the three engaged, and got more for what they were given. One day, I want to cash in a big one. I want to say, Lord, this, you gave me this, and I put it to use. There's a song that Ray Bulk sang, Thank You for Giving to the Lord. Anybody know that song? That song brings tears to my heart. Because one, this the dream of standing before the throne, and somebody saying, because you told me something. I told somebody else, and they told somebody. You know, you never know. You never know how far down the road it's going to go. There's a domino effect in life. They call it the ripple effect as well. You can only reach so many people. But those people that you reach can only reach so many people. And those, and on and on and on. And we don't know what effect. You know, this September will be 50 years ago that I received the Holy Ghost as a six-year-old boy. And I remember it was a church laid out somewhat like this. And I remember I sat about where Brother John is in that church. And I remember God filling me with the Holy Ghost. I remember, man, I just remember that feeling, just that load being lifted off of my six-year-old heart. I remember the feeling of, wow, this is so clean. And even as a six-year-old, it's sort of funny to look back and go, how could you feel so clean? You're only six. It doesn't matter. That is something I can share with somebody and tell them when God filled me with His Spirit, He just took away all of that heaviness and all of that guilt and all of that shame. You know, that's a testimony. People want something that is real. How many of you have bought this snake oil before? When I say snake oil, it qualifies for a bunch of different things. We don't have snake oil around here. We got the real thing. We had it way before Coca-Cola did. We had it from Calvary on. It came to us in blood. We take no backseat to nobody. It's not time to be ashamed. I'm just tired of the charismatic church that just sort of runs right over us with their way. And you know what? We got the truth. And it ain't nothing to be ashamed of. The fourth point I'd like to mention is discover. Sometimes you run into people and you discover somebody that needs what you got and wants what you got. I have listed things for sale on Craigslist before and had people text me and call me and bother me. And somebody would finally call and say, is it still there? I'm on the way. Absolutely. And you're like, you're right. And in 10 minutes, they're not going to, well, I don't ever let them come to my house. I meet them somewhere. But you're going to find people, you will discover them if you look for them. You know what I have found? I have found in my life, the things that I look for, yes. I find them. I've also found that if I quit looking, I don't find it. I have quite a collection of tools. Brother Keith and I have put them to use, and he said before, do you have one? Yeah, I've got it somewhere. And you know what I wind up doing? Using something else similar. I don't want God to do that. Where's Bill? I don't know. Well, maybe we'll get somebody else to do it. God has something for every one of us to do, and we need to make sure we find ourselves in that place to be used by Him. You don't have to look very far to find somebody that wants what you got. When was the last time you asked somebody for a Bible study? Just think about it. When was the last time you pressed somebody for a Bible study? Oh, man, we really got to have a Bible study. Think about it. How good is this stuff you got?
Right.
You know, I got a little shoe shine kit at home that's a real small one. My son got it for me when he was in kindergarten 32 years ago. I still have it. You can tell I don't use it very often. But I've got it. When I use it, it works. You know, I got the Holy Ghost. And when I let it use me, it works. It's not something that ever diminishes with time. My experience with the Lord depends a lot on me. How serious am I about this? How much do I want to reach somebody? I've mentioned to you that I've sold cars before. I've been in sales before. I sold cars at Toyota. Used to be Toyota Atlanta. And I remember I was on the phone, internet sales. And so every little while they let us get up and walk out a lot and look at the cars. And it's pretty funny because I sold more cars walking out on the lot because the salesmen were too busy doing something else. I'd walk out on the lot and somebody would be looking around and it's like, hey, can I help you? Yeah, I was looking for a salesman. You know, there are people out there looking for somebody to tell them something about Jesus. I love Jesus, and I know He wants me to let people know how much I love Him and what He's done for me. So, after you discover, the second thing you have to do is ask. Don't be afraid to ask. You never know until you ask. What are they going to do to you? Tell you yes or tell you no? You got two choices. They're not going to kill you, more than likely. I don't think. Not yet, anyway. Who knows? What happened if you thought they were going to kill you? Would you ask them anyway? There are those that have willingly, the scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 of the heroes of faith that some refused deliverance because they sought a better resurrection. What are you going to do? Matthew 7:7 instructs us to ask. Of course, you got to ask the right questions. You ask the wrong question or ask. Jesus said, or the scripture says, that you have not because you ask not, and sometimes because you ask amiss. I've heard stories of those home missions pastor, and I believe it was in Kansas, where it's nice and windy and sandy, and the wife didn't have a vacuum cleaner. She's like, oh God, I need a vacuum cleaner. Any old vacuum cleaner will do. Guess what? She got any old vacuum cleaner. And it threw down about as much dirt as it picked up. And she went back to the Lord crying, like, God. And He spoke to her and said, you said any old vacuum cleaner would do. When was the last time you prayed God would send you to somebody hungry? It works. You better be ready. You better be ready. Because you're going to have to give an answer when they say, well, what do I do? Oh, I've got the answer for you. That's when you tell them. All right? So, the sixth point is that you need to observe. You need to use your eyes. You've got to put them to use. You've got to look. Jesus said in John 4:35, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready for harvest. It's harvest time. It is harvest time. You know, Jesus is coming. We don't know when He's coming. He may come for me before He comes for you, or before He comes for all of us together. One day, we're going to leave this place. We're not getting out of here alive unless Jesus comes and takes us all at the same time. We've got to be ready and looking for that next one. When you get that in your mind, it's sort of addictive. here in 92, and I remember on a Sunday morning, we had a preacher preach just a few services before, and I even prayed, oh God, I want to teach a Bible study, And Sunday morning, and y'all remember the old church, it's been too long ago. Anyway, a little bitty platform, and had a keyboard, and I stood by the keyboard playing bass, and we had a couple of chairs up there, and a visiting family came. We didn't know them. Nobody had invited them to church. And we began to worship. We never played a single note. We began to pray, to worship the Lord, and the Holy Ghost began to move in that place. There were not but maybe 20 or 30 people there. I'll tell you what, God visited that place. And there were the visiting family that came in. I thought in my heart, Lord, if you give me the chance, I'm going to ask them for a Bible study. Guess what? I put myself out there. I said, you give me the chance. I didn't go the other way. I went to talk to them. And so got to talking with them, and they said, yeah, we'd love to have a Bible study. Can you come to our house tomorrow on Monday night and do the Bible study? I said, absolutely. Where do you live, you know? And I look forward to come to church on Sunday night and let it show up. And we're going, Lord, we're supposed to have a Bible study. And so on Monday, I went by their house at lunchtime because I worked down fairly close to where they live. And they said, well, we'd come, but we didn't have gas in the car. And I was like, okay, they're still hungry. Okay, God. Okay, let's do this, God. You know what? We got to be excited about what we're doing. If you are like, oh, I'm on Bible study, you're not going to affect anybody. So I had faith. I just believed God was going to do something. So I called Brother Cooley. I said, Brother Cooley, and it was cold outside. I said, get the baptistry warmed up. We're going to baptize somebody tonight. They didn't talk to him. They didn't talk the first Bible study. But I had faith to believe we were going to baptize somebody. Please forgive me for the personal reference. All I can tell you is what I know. So we went to her house, and the lady, who is now deceased, had been a part of the Foursquare Church and the Jesus Freaks. Anybody remember the Jesus Freaks from back in the early 70s? Anybody remember that? That was a big movement. I'll tell you what. I remember seeing, when I was in high school, I'll get back to my story. Our pastor invited the young people, which was the three of us, my brother, my sister, myself, over to their house one night. And he went to the library and got a projector, and he had that movie. It was a film about the Jesus Freaks. And he thought it would be good to see what it was all about. We were watching it, and there was a man with long, stringy hair, and he was on his knees, hands in the air, and he was weeping and crying, and he was speaking in tongues. He got the Holy Ghost. Okay, you know what? If you see somebody speaking in tongues, don't you dare say it's not the Holy Ghost. You better be really, really careful when you say people don't get the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible tells us that blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is the only unpardonable sin. I didn't give it to him. God is God. He makes that call. You can get the Holy Ghost anywhere. You can get the Holy Ghost in the Catholic Church. I've heard people doing it. I've heard people get the Holy Ghost in the Baptist Church and being asked to leave. You didn't get that here. You got that right. I'm telling you what, God is reaching out for people. So, Monday night comes, I show up at their house. You went with me, didn't you? We went down to their house. Two children, two boys, mom and dad. We opened the Bible. We started talking, and it wasn't long. They were ready to be baptized. He saw his need to be baptized. She had received the Holy Ghost in the movement years ago, and she said, I need to pray through. I said, this is how it happened. She goes, I don't know if I was baptized in Jesus' name or not. And so we brought him down, and guess what? I don't mean to make fun of Brother Cooley. Brother Cooley, if you ever hear this, please forgive me. Brother Cooley didn't turn on the heater to the baptistry that day. But guess what? We baptized, I don't know if we baptized the boys or not. It was cold. And the sister was baptized, and she was refilled with the Holy Ghost. And the husband was baptized and later received the Holy Ghost. If you have faith in your heart, things will happen. I guarantee you in the first trip down to Atlanta, there may have not been a whole lot of faith. I don't know. Sometimes I go, Lord, anybody been to the nurse that's been to the nursing home with us will know what I'm talking about. We go to the nursing home and it's like, are we even getting through to them? Because most of what we're doing is singing and saying just a couple words. But I have faith to believe that it may not be those people there that we're reaching. There have been a couple of the staff that will come stand in the back corner just to hear what's being said. You have no idea where the seed is going to take effect. Something's going to happen. So in our observing, Luke 21 and 27, Jesus said, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The end is coming. I don't know if anybody in here watches politics, reads the news. You would have to be blind, deaf, and dumb not to see the change that's happening to our world. I read an article recently. I should have printed out and brought it with me. There was a family in, I believe it was Minnesota, that was given a cease and desist order to quit teaching Bible studies in their home. This is in America. If you won't do it when there is freedom, I don't think you'll do it when there is no freedom. The things that we practice and do religiously, we will carry them with us. I know people that claim, they're going to get on their deathbed. No, I don't believe that. I know it has happened, but I don't believe that's God's way. And I believe if you will not serve God in the good time, you're not going to be able to serve Him in the bad time. We've got to give Him the best. We got to give the best of our life, because it's not about us, it's about Him anyway. Number 7, we may make it, yeah. Dare. Dare to have faith to risk. I have had a little bit of dealings with the stock market. It's not for me. I don't know how it works. I took a job and they gave me a bunch of shares at a really good price, and I never got to exercise them, fortunately, because if I would have bought them at the price that they were offering to me at, I would have lost $120 a share when I left the business. So I want to change jobs. There's some things I'm not going to take a risk on. I was talking to a guy at work a couple weeks ago. He's like bragging that him and his wife went to the casinos over the weekend, and you know, he went in with $100, she went in with $100, and he gained twice his back, and she lost all hers, so he split it with her. I'm like, dude, how much did you walk out of there with? Well, I had gas money to get home. I'm like, woohoo! I said, you got $200 I can have? I got a good use for $200. We're trying to build a building. So, do you have faith to answer the bidding of Jesus? Do you think God would call you for no reason at all? Do you think He would fill you with His Spirit for no reason at all? It wasn't just because He felt like it. He saw something in you. He saw something in each one of us that He would fill us with His Spirit. He sees all those people He ain't got to yet. And He's waiting on us to get the job done. He's not going to send an angel to convert them. He didn't even do that for Cornelius. He sent an angel to Cornelius and told him what to do, to go get somebody to preach to him. And I don't think God is going to send an angel to us and tell us to go somewhere else. We've got enough opportunity. We know what's going on. We know this is the truth. Peter is often ridiculed for his little faith when he sank on his walk toward Jesus. Notice how Peter sank, but Jesus did not allow him to drown. If you walk in faith, you may sink down somewhere, but Jesus has always got His hand out waiting for you. If you make a move toward Him to teach a Bible study or to witness, and you find yourself floundering, don't be afraid. Jesus will hold your hand. He'll pull you right up on out. Just keep telling Him what you know. You don't know what's going to take effect. I remember one of those people with very clean shoes. There was a man who was now a pastor as a home mission worker. He and his wife came to church over here. And he had come. And I really don't remember saying this. I don't doubt it, but he had come and prayed well. How many of y'all excited when people pray well? When people pray and you see God moving in their life, it's like, oh, they're going to turn the corner. This is it. They're going to make it now. You know, and so he came and prayed and came back a few weeks later and started growing a goatee. And I was like, and he said, I walked up to him and shook his hand and said, brother, you got to make up your mind. Now, I don't remember saying that, and I didn't mean any offense by it. But I'm going to tell every one of you, you got to make up your mind. And he told me later, and it's been years, he said, you know, that really stuck in my mind that I am going to have to make up my mind. If you don't make up your mind that you are going to reach out, reach up, do something for God, you never will. You will die and appear before the Lord with your hands empty. You won't have anything to offer because you never made up your mind. You've got to make up your mind that you're going to do it. And you've got to find what works for you. I walked into Brother Howard and I went to QT up the road one Saturday. And he wanted to introduce me to one of their chocolate coffee drinks, whatever. And I'm like, cool, I'm on. If it's coffee, I'm on, you know. Send me or take me. And so we walked in the store, and just like I always do, I walk in and the lady's at the counter. I go, how are you doing today? And she goes, I am wonderful. I said, whoa, how do you do that? She goes, well, I just be myself. I said, well, I must be wonderful too, because that's all I know how to do is be myself. You will never reach anybody trying to be something you're not. None of us will ever be Pastor Coke. None of us will be, none of y'all will ever be me. How's that? God bless you. Thank God they broke the mold. Own your testimony. Own it. Own your presentation. Practice on somebody. I challenge you young people. I challenge you older people. I challenge you old people. That would be you. You know who I'm talking about. You can't tell who I'm pointing at on the audio. Own your testimony. Practice it with somebody. We got Bible quizzers around here, and you know what they do? They practice one person at a time to each other. They quote. Somebody, you can critique somebody. Lord, what does that mean? Now, I would rather have somebody I'm practicing with ask me what that means than somebody I'm trying to reach out to. Because when I have got my testimony down and it has been shot through, I'm not talking nothing fake. I'm talking about perfecting what we do. We need to strive for perfection. We need to strive to be the best that we can possibly be. We want to draw people to this, not push them away. Well, there's a bunch of weirdos. You don't even know what he believes. Anyway, so earn the relationship. Some people you may meet and not witness to them for a year because you will earn that opportunity to witness to them. Sometimes it's faster, sometimes it's not. You know, you say more by what you are and what you do than what can possibly ever come out of your mouth. Don't let what comes out of your mouth destroy what you're trying to make them see in Jesus. Because you can open your mouth and eliminate an entire lifetime of effort to build a testimony. We can destroy our testimony through carelessness, through letting our mouth run, through, oh, God help us. You know what I'm saying. It's just, we have to be very careful about it. Number 10, prove. Romans 12 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you know that to reach the lost is the perfect will of God? It is God's will that we reach the lost. It is God's will that we build 5 more churches that big. Where are we going to put them all? We cannot put it all in this building. We can't put it all in the next building. Who knows? I was talking to a coworker today, and he was talking about all the churches of blah, blah. I'm not going to mention their name. And they're huge churches. He told me that one of them had a benevolence fund of $100 million. I said, do you think they'd donate $3 million for us to build our new building? And I was dead serious. I don't know if he thought I was. That's all standing. We're trying to prove what is good and acceptable, perfect, what the will of God is. The proof is in the pudding. Are you happy with your relationship with God? Are you happy with what God has done in your life? It's hard to tell the guy with pudding all over his face that it ain't no good. Because he done got in it and he done ate it up. We have the best opportunity we've ever had now. This is the time that we've all been waiting for. Jesus is coming. He's coming. We don't know when, and I want to have something to present to him. I want every one of us to have something to present to him. The last point is become. You have to become that person, that soldier. You don't become a soul winner by witnessing one day. One day's worth of witnessing will never make you a soul winner. You become a soul winner by a lifetime of living it, walking it, being it. You know, if I had to go to a doctor for major surgery, I'd be looking for the best one out there. I would want the one that came with all the recommendations and all the high marks, and everybody go, oh yeah, you want to go to that doctor. I want people to come to this because they see how many people's lives have been changed, the miracles that God has done to deliver people from their sin, to change their life, turn them around, deliver from alcohol, drugs, all kinds of addictions. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Now, establish is not necessarily establish, but it means to make stable and to place firmly. God's plan is to make us stable in Him, to make us stand in Him, to make us something that He can depend on. Now, there's nothing more disappointing than somebody or something you cannot depend on. I'm one of those people that annoys everybody because I'm the first one there. I have tried to be the last one there, and it just is not in me. We become known for what we are. Are you a Christian? Do you have a testimony together? I challenge each one of you tonight to take this and make it yours. Make it something that, oh, my pastor can pray for you. No. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Yes, the pastor can pray for you and you'll be healed, but that's something that God has put in us through the power of the Holy Ghost. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't hide from it. Don't say what happens if nothing happens. It's not my problem. It's not up to me. It doesn't matter what happens when I pray. God wants to use us. He wants to turn this place upside down. Sunday night's message from Brother Pearson really touched my heart. I want to be one of those people of a made-up mind, and I challenge each one of you to find that urgency in yourself. When you find the urgency, you'll do something. Somebody can teach it, preach it, scream it, holler it, spit it, spray it, whatever you want to say, but until you get it in your heart, it's just going to be another one of those things you hear, and on to the next one. God wants to use each one of us, nobody any more than the other. Every one of us have an opportunity to be a witness for Him, to be a witness of this glorious gospel that He has put in our lives. Let's all come forward and pray.
You can use anything, Lord. we just heard that Sister Paleo had a heart attack. But it turned out to be, you know, it was a mild thing. But we want us to pray for her. Let's do it. Sweet lady. Let's pray. God in Jesus' name, you know where Sister Paleo is at, Lord. We thank you so much, God, that you protected her. Hallelujah, a heart attack that could have been a lot worse than what it is. We believe in you tonight, God, that she's going to feel restoration and healing. Hallelujah, she's going to come out of this all right. Let the angel of the Lord stand by her bedside tonight, God, and touch her and bless her, Lord. We're believing in you, God. We're believing in Jesus' name. We pray. Hallelujah, in the name of the Lord Jesus.